From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a local and statewide news update. The city and borough of Juneau is trying to decide where to put its cold weather shelter. It's hosting a public meeting today at 5 o'clock, coming up pretty soon, to share more information and get feedback on possible locations. But the one group that has been mostly absent from the conversation so far are the people who will be staying there. KTOO's Adeline Baxter visited the current shelter last week to find out more.
It's 7:45, and the cold weather shelter doesn't open until 8. But it's raining again, so Jackie Bryant opens the doors. The shelter has changed locations and operators a few times since it opened in 2017, but Bryant has been a constant. She's here most nights, setting up and welcoming people one at a time so they can be screened and sign in. Then she's back in the morning to wake them up and hand out coffee and oatmeal.
The other night we had almost 60 people here again. We can take 71 and be social distanced.
Usually the shelter is open seasonally and only on nights when it's below freezing. But this year, it's been open continuously since March, operating out of the Juneau Arts and Culture Center downtown.
We didn't think we'd be open this long for one thing. This was unexpected.
Bryant says the constant practice hasn't made the routine any easier for her or the people who stay overnight. Neither has the weather.
So we have rainy, windy days, and we still have to send them out the door knowing that they're outside all day. And I don't believe people treat their pets that way.
The public libraries where many people go to stay dry were closed for most of the spring, and when they reopened, they had capacity limits. The downtown transit center is closed during the day, and the Glory Hall homeless shelter is letting fewer people stay overnight due to the pandemic. Meanwhile, Bryant says the cots they use are taking a toll on people's backs. Some are choosing to sleep on the floor instead. Their last working thermometer broke, and they haven't been able to get a new one yet. The building also doesn't have shower or laundry facilities. The city has extended its contract with St. Vincent's to operate the shelter until next year, but it's not clear where the shelter is going to be. Options for where to put it range from empty buildings and hotels downtown to sites in West Juneau and the Mendenhall Valley. Some neighbors downtown have already raised concerns about potential sites. The city will hold a virtual meeting Wednesday night to talk about proposals for the shelter and hear from the public. People can participate through Zoom or by phone. But talking to residents at the current cold weather shelter, it's clear that it would be hard for them to listen or weigh in at the meeting. Some of them have cell phones, but most don't have access to a computer. And most of them didn't know it was happening. To Bryant, it doesn't matter where the shelter is. It just needs to be something more permanent than what they have right now.
I don't want them dying out there because there's no place for them to be.
Travis Johnson is handing out blankets. He's one of the paid staff who spend the night and dole out hot coffee and snacks. Johnson also knows what it's like not to have a place to sleep. He's been clean for almost a year now. But when he wasn't, he used to stay under a bridge. Now he and his wife and newborn son have an apartment at the transitional housing complex at St. Vincent's. He says moving the shelter out of downtown won't move unhoused people away from the shops and the tourism businesses like some people think it will. As an addict, he says the temptations downtown are too strong.
Even if all the other resources move out to the valley, there's still going to be the core group of people that are downtown. They're here because the liquor stores are here. They're here because their resources for getting drugs is here.
He thinks of it kind of like the bears that have been causing trouble this summer.
Now you can't ask all the black bears to move out to the valley just because it bothers the business people that are down here. You know, you gotta show compassion and love them and find something that works.
James Cool stays at the shelter. He says he doesn't care where it is, as long as there's a way to get there. Before the shelter moved to the Culture Center this spring, it was near the airport. They ran a shuttle to pick people up and bring them in for the night.
I don't mean to cause any trouble, you know, because a lot of neighborhoods, you know, think that, but I just need a place to sleep. I'm homeless, and I appreciate this.
The meeting begins at 5 p.m. Wednesday. Information about how to participate can be found on the city's website or at ktoo.org. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
There are a lot of downsides to the kind of heavy, prolonged rainfall that has blanketed Southeast Alaska this year. It can flood rivers and streams, saturating the ground and leading to mudslides. A rainy summer can also affect the mood and mental health of people living here. But the rain does have benefits. KTOO's Matt Miller has a few examples.
During the dry conditions and drought of 2018 and 2019, hydroelectric projects around the panhandle suffered from low water levels. Trey Atkinson is CEO of the Southeast Alaska Power Agency, which runs hydroelectric projects that supply electricity to Petersburg, Wrangell, and Ketchikan. Atkinson says those communities had to fire up more expensive diesel generators in order to fill their electricity needs then. He says Ketchikan even had to lease extra portable generators.
It was an anomaly. Hopefully we don't have to deal with that again, but unfortunately it did impact rates too.
Meaning more expensive utility bills. This year is different. He says he can count the number of warm, sunshiny days in Ketchikan on one hand.
Been a pretty miserable summer.
But if you're in the hydro business, it's been a great year.
Atkinson says their reservoirs filled up July 24th, and he expects they have enough water stored up to supply electricity well into fall and winter. And then there's the salmon.
Got to have water. That's critical.
Aaron Dupuy, a Sitka-based commercial fisheries biologist, remembers previous summers. Salmon streams literally dried up right in the middle because the snowpack was so poor and so little rainfall. In that case, salmon can't get far enough upstream to spawn. Even if there is a little water, the eggs might not last long.
Without adequate stream flow, they could not get enough oxygen. Or if there's not any, they dry out and they don't survive too long without any water.
It's not just the eggs. It's the same for the little fry on up to old spawners.
Some of those days, you know, it was 80 degrees out. You look down at it like, man, that water's got to be really hot. And salmon don't do well in hot water.
Dupuy says this summer there was plenty of cooler water in salmon streams. Communities all over the panhandle registered historic levels or set new records for rainfall during June, July, and August. For example, in downtown Juneau, it was the wettest summer in 59 years with more than 34 inches of rain. And when it comes to number of days of measurable rain, Rick Fritsch of the National Weather Service says it was nearly double last summer. Fritsch says the big difference this year was the jet stream, or a super-fast river of air high up in the atmosphere, had moved back down south of Alaska. So, if you want a clue about whether it'll be another dreary, wet summer next year, or if your electricity bills will be higher, then just look where the jet stream is next spring. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
Juneau emergency management officials say they're considering escalating the community's risk status and restrictions with it following a new cluster of COVID-19 cases. They say bars and bar-like settings are particularly concerning. Emergency Planning Section Chief Robert Barr recommends everyone who has been in any Juneau bar between August 24th and September 7th get tested, even if they don't have symptoms. Free tests can be arranged through the city's COVID-19 hotline at 586-6000.
A number of these cases over the past 14 days tie back to specifically to a large social gathering that included guests at that gathering who work in bars. So the bars have been contacted. A number of them had voluntarily closed to get their staff tested and cleared to return to work. At this time, as of today, thankfully, there hasn't been any identified spread to patrons of bars.
Devil's Club Brewing Company, The Triangle, and The Narrows all recently announced temporary closures after employees tested positive or were in close contact with someone who tested positive. City Manager Rory Watt got a little more specific about the gathering. He says they think one person with COVID-19 but without symptoms was at the gathering where people weren't wearing masks, which led to 19 cases.
We would like to get to a point where schools are an option, where not restricting businesses are an option. And if we have people in the community that are having large social gatherings, whatever kind of gathering that is, and they're indoors and they're not wearing masks, I don't know how to be any more blunt than to say that they are putting the well-being of the community at peril.
Watts says emergency officials are scrambling as they consider their next move. He says they are a lot closer to closing bars and further restricting businesses and gatherings than they were on Sunday, though the voluntary closures helped relieve some pressure. One number Robert Barr tracks to inform the decision is the positivity rate. That's the percentage of tests that have come up positive over the last 7 days, and it's been trending up. On Tuesday, it was over 2%. This is KTOO News.